What's good, guys? You're tuning into the Milk Carton Series. I'm your host, Stephanie, and today we discuss 11-year-old Ryan Harris. Hey, y'all. So this story about 11-year-old Ryan Harris, who lived in Lansing, Illinois, is such a truly sad story. When I think about this story, I just think about how and why, you know, like I don't think I will ever, as a 30-year-old, comprehend how someone can be attracted to a child. I just will never grasp that idea of that at all. Well, Ryan, she was known for her love of cookies, and her family gave her a nickname, Cookie. I mean, why not, right? She loved butter cookies, right? And what's so sad about this story is, on July 27th of 1998, Sabrina Harris, who is Ryan's mother, was pregnant with her seventh child, and she left her children in the care of a friend while she began to unpack their home in the suburbs. They were starting a new life, and everything was coming together for this family. So around 6 p.m. that day, she received a phone call from her friend who was watching the children, claiming that her daughter Ryan hasn't been seen since 3 p.m. She went riding throughout the neighborhood on the bicycle that she had borrowed. And what's so scary about that is, because you think about now in 2021, you know, of course, I don't know about you, but my child is not riding a bike by themselves in a neighborhood. But it's very different back in the day in the 90s. Our families could do a little bit more than what they could do with, I feel like, me, you know, or my children or whatever. Well, when they did not locate Ryan, her mother began to contact the Cook County Sheriff's Office and reported Ryan missing, which they began to search for her. Many families and friends and two gang rivals even helped in the community to look for Ryan, y'all. Like, come on, doesn't get any bigger than this, right? So the following day, on July 28th, 1998, Ryan was found dead, y'all. Search volunteers encountered her body in an overgrown lot behind a building in the 6600 block of South Purnell Avenue in the Englewood community. Ryan was found naked from the waist down with her shirt pulled up, panties down her throat, and weeds pushed into her nostrils, according to the medical examiners. There was a bloodstained brick near her body, which investigators believed was used to crush her skull. And I'm just reading that, and I was like, what? Like, who could do this to an 11-year-old, y'all? Like, I don't think I will ever comprehend what has to be mentally wrong with you. Like, what the hell? So when Ryan's remains were transported to the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office for an autopsy, it had been revealed that Ryan Harris had been sexually assaulted and beaten before she was suffocated to death. Her mother stated that it was the worst thing she saw in a casket, and basically Ryan did not deserve to be there. She was robbed of her world, of her life. Like, I can't even imagine. You know what I mean? I can't. 12 days after Ryan Harris' body was found on August 9th, 1998, police charged two boys ages 7 and 8 with her murder after they alleged that they confessed to the crime. Now, we all know where this is about to go, right? So you mean to tell me a 7 and 8-year-old confessed to the murder, a heinous murder at that, of 11-year-old Ryan Henry? When I read that, I already knew where this was going to go. I just did not believe that statement whatsoever. And I think it's baffled that law enforcement would do such a thing. But then again, we're back in the 90s. You know, I think about other crime cases around the world that have come out with new documentaries where, you know, people are consistently being not being, but they make the person who they believe did the crime, you know, allege that they did it. Like, they twist the words when you go in there. And that's why I always said, you know, God forbid something were to ever happen to me, I'm luring up. I don't care if I did not commit the crime. You will not twist my words. But see, I'm a grown woman. A child, 7 and an 8-year-old, would not know that. And that's baffling to me that they would even do that. Like, where the hell were their parents at? Because that doesn't make any sense at all. Whatsoever. You know what I mean? Like, how does that even make any sense? So as these boys were sitting in prison for about 38 days, DNA testing came in that the semen found on the victim determined that it could have not been from the boys, especially because of their age. And I'm reading that like, so you, as the law enforcement, sat up there and made a 7-year-old and an 8-year-old confess to a crime, because they even told, there had been in a statement that one of the boys, he basically cried to his mother and said that he did not commit the crime, that law enforcement basically told them to admit to this crime. And in my thinking, when that statement came back, that it couldn't have been them because of the semen, I'm like a 7 and an 8-year-old, y'all. Like, I'm not saying that some 7 and 8-year-olds are not strong, but I just can't picture it back in 1998 that these two young boys, literally my son's age, my son is 9, doing something like that. Not saying that it is not possible, but for this type of crime, yeah, I'm just not believing it as a parent. I'm just not. So the relatives of, you know, these two young boys, they filed a lawsuit against the city of Chicago for $8 million. And according to the Daily Journal, attorneys for the two boys claim that the children had been framed and that law enforcement disregarded evidence that would prove their innocence. Now, you're probably wondering what happened to these law enforcement officers. Well, law enforcement basically, were the people, whatever, you know, basically said that they didn't see any fault in this. Now, we're talking 1998, so of course they're not going to own up to their shit. I mean, that's just the bottom line of it all. And what's even crazier in this, because of course as years go on and, you know, you're thinking about all of this with these two boys. So Sabrina Harris, she had received a subpoena to testify in the civil case of the older boy. And she basically believed that the children deserved $1 million a day because they were labeled as the killers. Like, law enforcement literally said it out that these two were like the youngest, you know, killers. And it really struck a name in the community. And it really had Sabrina thinking that these two young boys killed her daughter when in fact they did not. So she believed, you know, they should have gotten $1 million a day because they were released, you know, 38 days later from the fact. And she also said that investigators, you know, made her think they were guilty so much that she wanted them dead. Like, she wanted these two boys dead. She said, they had me hating these little boys. You would never would have believed, you know, her as the parent, the hatred that she had for them. And I get that 100%, you know, why she hated them. Look what happened to her daughter. So, you know, it's like, what the hell? So in the case, things start to progress for the Harrises. So in September of 1999, forensic testing revealed that the DNA evidence found on Ryan's underwear closely matched a convicted sex offender by the name of Eddie Dorr. But he has a brother, y'all. And it had came out that he could have not murdered Ryan because he was incarcerated at the time. You know, he was serving a life sentence without the possibility of parole. And this is when experts realized that they got an exact match for his then 29-year-old brother, Floyd Dorr. And it's like, what? So at this time, his DNA was found on Ryan's body. Floyd was already incarcerated. He was serving 125 years for committing violent sex acts on three other girls in Englewood in 1998, y'all. Like, oh my goodness. There should be something that happens to sex offenders. Like, seriously. Because you know they're going to do it again. And that's what confuses me with this all. Like, and while we're talking about that, Floyd pretty much had a trail of violence. A 10-year-old girl, still clutching the dollar her mother gave her for candy, found Floyd Dorr lurking on her family's south side porch. And then a 15-year-old, walking home from her classes at Englewood Academy, saw him at the other end of a gun he pressed to her head. Then, 11-year-old, holding the snack she had just bought for a school field trip, crossed paths with him, accompanied by his older brother, Eddie. Y'all, and it's just like, I just will never comprehend. And then, of course, as we'll get into, you know, they talk about IQ and how these individuals aren't able to stand, you know, to get the death penalty. Like, it's just like a whole bunch of BS, I feel like. So during the police investigation, Floyd denied having anything to do with Ryan's murder. Of course he would, right? So he later changes his story and he states that, in fact, he did encounter Ryan's battered body after noticing the two boys running away from the area on their bikes. So he tried to like pin it on the two boys, but it's like, I'm sorry, these two boys could have not beaten this little girl. Like, you're in your late 20s. Sorry, you have more strength to do some of these things. So he then went on to say that he became aroused by Ryan's naked body, and that's when he performed a sex act. And he was so adamant that he didn't have sexual intercourse with her. And I guess that's how he tried to portray how his DNA got onto Ryan's, you know, underwear, whatever. So at a court hearing on October 5th of 1998, just 2 days after Ryan's mom gave birth to her seventh child, a judge did determine that there was enough evidence to charge Floyd Dorr with the rape and murder of Ryan Harris. Then on April 10th of 2006, nearly 8 years after Ryan Harris's death, he took a fucking plea deal. But check this out. He entered an Alford plea, and an Alford plea is basically meaning you plead guilty, but you still maintain your innocence. That's a crock of shit. I'm just not here for it. And of course, Sabrina was not thrilled about that deal at all because she was really hoping that he would get the death penalty. And instead, the judge basically gave him life plus 30 years in prison. And I'm just like, this man is fucking sick. It's like, I'm sorry. It's just, you are the capacity of sick. Because like, if you guys remember, as I just stated that, about the 11-year-old who, you know, he and the brother pretty much, you know, raped or whatever. She made it out alive. But she was so terrified to even, you know, speak or do anything after this encounter, because she, of course, she was terrified. You know, she was raped. Like, I can't even imagine, like, 11 years of age, y'all. And that's why the brother was already in him. He was already sitting in prison because of all the acts that they had already done. And then, of course, you know, they try to talk about, like, their background, their environment of what they grew in, saying that they had an IQ score of 59 and 65, you know, which puts them below the U.S. Supreme Court and Illinois law. And there, I guess there's like, you know, a requirement for the death penalty. And I was just like, wow. Wow. Like, I don't have the words. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you two were convicted of raping an 11-year-old girl together, you know, and all this little girl was doing was buying snacks for a planned school field trip the next day when she entered the freaking path of these two evil fuckers. Like, they deserve to be castrated, y'all. Like, they deserve, because, you know, in the sentencing that they had in 2000 for that 11-year-old girl, the girl described being beaten and dragged into a basement. She then says she was tied to a pole, and Eddie took off her shoelaces, wrapped them around her neck, and choked her. And then that's when DNA evidence tied Floyd Doerr to the rape. The girl identified Harry Doerr. The girl, you know, she was so traumatized, like I said, that she had to tell her story through a friend, y'all. And she said she pretended that she was dead because she wanted Eddie to stop choking her. She was so terrified, and all she could think about was getting back to her family. I can't even imagine as 11-year-old. Oh my goodness. But the crazy thing about this, as I was reading about these two sick ass brothers, Eddie, the brother, he always had run-ins with the law going back to 1981 when he was found a delinquent in the juvenile court at 14. He was first charged with rape the next year, and he was sentenced to 6 years in state prison. While on parole for that conviction, he was charged again in 1986 with criminal sexual assault, was convicted and sentenced to 12 years in prison. It's like he just went on a fucking rampage, and it sucks because he dragged all of these young little girls into this path, and it sucks so bad, like so bad. And then, you know, they tried to blame their childhood of being abused and stuff like that as to why they were doing these things. But nonetheless, Ryan's mother, she continues to keep her name alive. There is a park dedicated to her, and it's just so sad. I can't even imagine as a mother, you know, to go through something that traumatic while pregnant, you know. I can't. I just have no words for it. But that is the case of Ryan Harris. Ryan was a beautiful 11-year-old girl. She had so much life to live and to see. Her mother said that she believes she would have graduated early because she was so intelligent. And it sucks because she was the oldest of, you know, seven. And her life was abruptly taken by an evil man, Floyd Doerr. And I hope he spends the rest of his life being tortured in there, because it makes no sense to do that to a little girl at all.